Good evening. You're listening to Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And this is one crazy show.
It sure is. Oh, man. I can't wait. This is going to be a good one because we get to talk about, finally...
Yeah, cryptozoology.
Yes.
We've been getting a lot of emails, smoke signals, rocks thrown through the window, you name it. Want people to talk about us to talk about cryptozoology.
Why? We're not experts, but we did indeed look into it.
Very thoroughly, I might add, too.
And I found, you know how your passion of...
My mom is giving me a little heart on Yahoo. That's sweet.
Aw, that's so cute.
Hey, Mom.
But the... you know how your Egyptology kind of thing took over after we did that show on the
my obsession?
Yeah, your obsession. I was really, really into this cryptozoology stuff.
Oh, this stuff's amazing.
And I didn't study the stuff you did. You did mostly, the academia kind of
stuff? Yeah, the more high level.
And then I studied a few actual cool little stories. Yeah.
The guts of what's the
and,
guts.
So I found some pretty cool stuff, and I hope to share it with you.
We went out hunting last night.
I heard you
went out hunting. Just for a minute. I know you... Well, you know what? I mean, if we go over a little bit tonight, is that okay? I mean, if we go over...
All right.
I meant to talk to you about this before. I meant to talk to you about this before the show.
It won't fit on a CD if it's over 70 minutes.
Yeah, okay. Well, we talked about that, so...
And plus, now we might be streamed live on Disinfo Radio.
Yeah, go...
Torn Radio's talking about streaming us live, so I don't know. We're...
Yeah, we got the emails for that this week, actually, and we're getting the details worked out. So it may we'll give you guys the instructions maybe on the website, or we'll tell you about it on the show here. Because I think that you may have to log into their site
in order to stream off their servers, because we're so limited on bandwidth.
Oh, you know what I did this week? My mom's trying to listen to the show. You know I told you I tried installing those new chips on her computer,
right?
And I cooked her sound card.
She can't hear the show.
Yeah. I am so stupid.
Oh, no.
Now I feel really bad.
But, yeah, we're going to have to get the details about Disinfo and Torn Radio and see what, you know, how it's all
going
to work.
Yeah, as soon as we find out, though, we'll let everybody know what's going on. Cause it's going to be great for you guys.
Yeah.
It's going to be great for us, too, because, like, it'll take a lot of load off our back, thank goodness. And it's very flattering to have these two organizations wanting to carry our show live.
Oh, yeah, and it's great for listeners and
yeah, you guys
they'll have a choice. Like if our backbone is dragging, which it often does, because we're only on a little tiny, you know, we're not on a cable modem or anything. We're on an actual like ISDN thing, but it's very limited in the number of channels that live listeners can have.
So it's great news for you guys, especially because we're gonna be able to get more people on live.
So, yeah, and we're going to have to redo... Well, when I finally redo the website, if I ever do, I've been threatening for months.
Right?
we'll put, you know, links. Like,
we're going to have the links, yeah. Go here.
Yeah, if this one doesn't work, try this one. If this one doesn't work, try this one.
So it's not that hard. Hopefully
it'll be the same. You just click on
it. Yeah, you just click
on
it and you go, yeah.
And
so
there it goes.
We did go out ghost hunting last night, though.
You did?
Just a little bit. Yeah, we'll talk about it a little bit.
I heard you did.
Yeah, we covered, like, the whole state last night. Okay. You came to pick me up. Well, you said you're going to be there at 2 o'clock, so, of course, you know, I'm ready to go.
So, okay, and you guys left at 2 in the afternoon to go.
No, we left at, like, 3 in the afternoon.
Oh, at 3 in the afternoon.
We'll had some problems. You know,
you were going to get the
hot wings that we were all excited about.
And it didn't happen.
No, they have winter hours now. So we're like, oh, come on. So we ended up having to go to KFC. We met up with a bunch. We've met Shannon before.
Uh-huh.
Another member of Michigan Ghostbusters.
Right.
We actually got together at her house and hung out and talked for a while. Had some really good grub. Oh, man, that was nice.
Watched Afterlife again.
Watched the movie, papertarget.net.
Yeah, okay. I caught the from the Divining Rods on, which is like my nemesis section of Afterlife.
Yeah, we bounced around to a bunch of places last night. I mean, any highlights for you, Will? Anything you really... got out of it?
Just that door slamming over at Ipsy.
That both of us can agree on that, I think. We both were kind of... I mean, of course, I'm like, nope, we're done.
I missed,
see you later!
I missed all the action. My nieces were over, so I hightailed back home after the meeting and spent time with my nieces. And they no haunting kind of stuff went on, but I did have... I am exhausted.
I made a bird commit suicide. That was one of my highlights, man. I killed a bird. Okay, quick story. Okay, we're walking around Ypsilanti, and I'm like, hey, look, this is a pretty cool room. So I walk in the room, right? And there's like, it was me, you, Bonnie, and Brad. I walk in the room, and I took two steps into this room, and this bird just jumps up. And it was like, we didn't even know what kind of bird it was.
At the time, no.
No, it was a.
But it wasn't like a parakeet or a.
No,
or
it didn't like start punching me out or anything like that. But it was just like, it flew up in the air, and it came down, and it sat there and looked at us. And I jumped just about out of my jacket. And I got laughed at by Will. And then I'm like, well, he ain't going to hurt us. So I walk in there, and I'm like, hey, bird, you know, it's okay. Everything's fine. He looked like he was hurt. He couldn't really get airborne to, like, move. So I'm walking in, I'm like, come here, bird. And he's looking at me, and all of a sudden the bird just, like, jumps up on the window. The window was busted out. Jumps up on the window, so just jumps out of the window, and I watch him fall. So he, like, committed suicide, man. I mean, he just, like...
The bird who couldn't fly leaps out the window.
It's
either
has a big chunky kid with a beard come and step on me or jump out the window, and I'm going to jump out the window. So I'm like sitting there going, we just killed the bird, man. So, yeah, didn't see any ghosts, but, I committed,
It looked like a small owl.
Birdicide.
Yeah,
or something.
Poultry homicide.
Yeah.
Aren't those owls, like, protected or something?
Oh, shut up. Great. National Wildlife Foundation is going to be picketing out in front of my house tomorrow morning. My week off of work, and I'm going to have to deal with wildlife activists. All right, whatever. Anyway, so I guess those were the highlights. I just went.
That's too funny.
We had to say that.
You have interesting luck with birds. I mean, we had that one.
Yeah,
the
colorful clip of the bird. Yeah, I just did the same thing.
Yeah.
It was just everywhere, and Will's laughing, and Brad's
It's a good thing the tape recorders were down in the morgue at that point.
Yeah, because
we have editing to do.
It took 40 minutes of audio last night, didn't get anything.
Well, the girl in the morgue at Ipsy... they're the ghost girl mm-hmm. in the morgue at Ipsy tends to come out later at night.
Yeah, we were only around 10 o'clock.
Yeah. And so she's like, you hear her like around midnight-ish.
Yeah.
That's when we always heard
it. Yeah, both times that I've been there and heard it, it's been about midnight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we didn't pick anything up, but still it was interesting just to go through it. I uploaded it all up into the PC today and give it a good listen. And boy, are we loud. I mean, there was a times where we got really quiet and just sat there. That's when we focused and just shut up and just did our thing. But you know what was really funny is there was a water dripping, and that recorder, I had it on ultra sensitive. That thing was just like magnifying these drips, and they said just like, duh, 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 and it was like, I'm not going to get anything anyway. This water dripping. Kill it. So, yeah, we had a good time last night. We cruised around. All kinds of weird things happened to us. Not enough time, though. We'll talk about it on another show, hopefully. Cryptozoology, though. Doug, I know you're like, you got this look in your face.
Well, I was fascinated by... Well, first of all, I'm absolutely dog-tired right now, but I am fascinated by cryptozoology. And,
I am, too.
So
I'm very fascinated.
Totally awesome.
Now, I'm sure there's at least one of the two listeners we have on this show. That one person's probably going...
Why does it have to do with ghosts?
Well, first of all, what is cryptozoology?
Yeah, well, that's a good question.
And, of course, like, a few people I talk to, like, ask me what the topic is. Like, people that don't listen to the show, but they, like, host, what's your show about this week, Scott? I'm like, it's about cryptozoology. Well, what's that, the study of crypts? I'm like, no, you couldn't be
getting
me wrong.
I got pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
Because there were people who some people were into the paranormal, and they're like, what's it about this week? And this was one of the rare weeks that we actually knew ahead of time.
Very. Like, we knew way ahead of time.
Yeah, we knew last week that it was going
to
be about cryptozoology.
It was to the point where we announced it last week.
Yeah. And
which, that's like old school ghostly talk. Right?
Yeah,
where
that's
back in the day when we were like,
we had
nervous and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do here. Yeah, we had a schedule. Wow.
Yeah, we had it like 13 show schedule. Yeah. And now it's like, oh, what do you want to talk about on, you know, Thursday we decide, or Friday, and then we study up.
So we work on things like bird homicide and...
Yeah. So
true paranormal topics.
But, yeah, what is then, and these folks who are into the paranormal did not, you know, recognize the term cryptozoology, which is kind of distressing, but at the same time, it'll help because that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
We want to... You know, present these kinds of things.
Well, the big point of the whole thing is that there may be a few people out there that are going to go, well, this has got nothing to do with ghosts, but it does deal with the unknown. And that's the big...
So that's good enough.
Big, it's good enough for us, yeah.
Not only that, we were asked about it.
Thoroughly.
I mean, people on the message board, people emailed, you know, they're like, why don't you talk about cryptozoology?
Yeah.
So we will.
Yeah,
so what is it?
Okay.
What are we talking about tonight?
There's just a touch of history, too, so this is really nice.
Okay.
The term cryptozoology was coined by a Dr. Bernard Hobelmans after publication of his book On the Track of Unknown Animals in 1955. The first publicized use of the word cryptozoology was in 1959 by Lucien Blanchot. Okay? Now, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say Bernard Hobelmans.
Mm-hmm.
He passed away last year.
Did he?
Yeah, on August 22nd last year. He was 84 years old. He was considered the father of cryptozoology.
Doug, quick guy on the mouse key there.
Well, no, I remember reading it, and
oh, okay.
And I'm like, wait a minute. I recognize that name. So, yeah, I just wanted to let you know that he unfortunately passed away.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, he made his contribution, though, so that's good. Cryptozoology is the study of hidden animals, not formally recognized by formal zoology, but supported in some way by the testimony from human beings. Most things of this nature have no explanation that we can prove with our limited sciences at this time. So basically we're talking about animals that are elusive. We're talking about things that, well, animals, you don't know if they're animals or not. Who knows?
And guess what? There are some. Because they're last year was just chock full of discoveries of new species or discoveries of new animals. And
mm-hmm.
as a matter of fact, last year, wasn't last year the year that I'm going to slaughter the pronunciation of this, I'm sure of it. I think it's coelacanth.
Coelacanth?
It's like this fish that lives deep, deep, deep in the ocean. They found fossils dating back like millions of years or something.
Wow.
They thought that this was like around the time the dinosaurs roamed the earth,
mm-hmm.
and they thought for sure that this fish was, defunct. What are they when
extinct?
Extinct. Yes, they thought that they were extinct, and it turns out they're not because they found some. So, you know, I mean,
that leans more towards the field of archaeology. But hey,
well, when they thought they were extinct, but now that they're not, it's cryptozoology.
Uh-huh, So, there's a lot of things that come to mind. Now that you guys know the definition, there's probably a lot of things that are popping in your head right now. The obvious ones, such as Nessie, you know, the Loch Ness Monster,
Bigfoot, Yeti.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds. Yeah, Yeti. Which, go to somethingawful.com for the Yetis.
Hey, they found, last year they found a Yeti hair.
Did they?
I am serious. It was big news last year. They found a hair of a Yeti. I don't know, on a brush or something. I'll dig it up, and if we get time, I'll talk about that later. But they did. They found what they think is a Yeti, a hair of a Yeti.
Okay, well,
so
the main theory, this will give people even
cool.
a better idea of what's going on here, okay? Like we just talked about, actually, many animals have gone...
I'm going to email those something awful, folks. Sorry, go ahead. But they found a Yeti. No, go ahead. I love somethingawful.com.
That's my favorite site. Okay, so, anyways, many animals have gone extinct over the last few hundred years as a result of ecological disruption caused by humans migrating to new environments or direct attempts to exterminate problem species. An example is the marsupial wolf or Tasmanian tiger. The carnivorous marsupial was hunted to extinction in the early part of the 20th century. The last known living specimen died in captivity in 1936. Persistent reports of sightings right down to the present suggests that a few thylacines may still live in the world. Okay, so a thylacine.
I don't
Somebody
know.
Help me here!
What is that?
I have
no
clue.
No idea.
Anyways.
Sounds scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's some sort of like bizarre looking tiger is what it is.
Oh, yeah, okay. they're big cats. You know. You don't want
to. You don't want one as a pet.
You don't want, yeah.
No.
You can't pet them.
No.
They're not.
They're not those kind.
This theory supports the facts that many hidden species are survivors of the ancient times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Some people believe that there's a need to clone DNA preserved in prehistoric amber in order to return dinosaurs to the earth. I don't think so!
Well, that sounds too much like the plot of a movie.
Yeah, on the grounds that the creatures never went fully extinct. Okay. For hundreds of years, stories have been told of surviving dinosaurs in the jungles of Central Africa. The earliest written record comes from a 1776 book in which Abbé Poyart described seeing a giant clawed animal, giant clawed animal footprints in West Central Africa. Tracks that he claimed were 3 foot across. 3 foot across.
Yeah, that's a big footprint.
That's like my height. Okay, in this way, most sea monsters would be Placerius or, forget it, where the water lion from Africa and the water tiger from South America are, oh my god, these words, I should have previewed this. This is killing me, I forgot this stuff. Okay, well, I see the Yeti here, okay? They mentioned the Yeti and Bigfoot, okay, as far as the theory goes. A giant ape commonly assumed to have died out several hundred thousand years ago. That's what they're talking about as far as the Bigfoot goes. And we've all seen those great 60-minute specials on Bigfoot there was that one, the classic
video.
One,
yeah.
Where it's like just guy walking along, like turn around, flips the camera off, and goes walking again.
Yeah,
you know?
That's the classic Bigfoot photo or
yeah, the classic
video.
The video, okay. Yeah. Other people believe that there are hybrid species which exist in our realms, but also in parallel dimensions. Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, that's actually kind of interesting that you mention that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's one of the things. If there are these big feet or Bigfoot hanging around and they're sighted all the time, why don't we have a carcass? Why don't we have evidence of where they live?
Yeah.
Why don't we have, you know, why haven't we seen them?
Exactly.
Because... You know, I mean, I'm sure there's, like, probably a Citgo or a Walmart on every corner in Oregon where a lot of these big feet sightings happen. And why, you know, why don't they see them wandering around the parking lots, you know? And evidently, there's actually a theory that they exist in another dimension and sort of, like, slip into ours.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally.
Well, this little tidbit will take that a little further from what you're saying, though.
Okay.
They are able to enter our reality at certain times and disappear without traces, much like UFOs and alien entities have been witnessed by thousands of people throughout the planet's history.
And I don't know if I really think along those same lines.
Well, yeah. Then we're starting to get into the whole conspiracy theory thing again, and we've been doing too much of that lately. So.
But, yeah, that particular thing, I don't know if they... I mean, maybe, but I don't know of an easy way to slip into another dimension from
You've never done it before.
What?
You've never done it before.
Only a couple times, but that was only after, like, many, many, many drinks. So I don't remember exactly how, but if I could duplicate it at will...
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Yeah, at will. It's will. No, if I could duplicate will... No, if I could duplicate it, you know, then I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm sure they do slip in and out of other dimensions.
Okay.
But I can't, so I don't know if I... The Earth is flat.
Okay.
I'm over here, I'm saying, keep your mind open. Keep your mind open. Then I'm like, I don't believe that.
Well, there's nothing wrong with disagreeing with something.
I don't see enough proof of that yet.
Okay. Well, here's the good
stuff,
though.
But it's a good theory.
Yeah, it's a great theory.
I mean, why not?
Here's the good stuff, though. This is where we start really getting into, like, the science of cryptozoology. There are 5 classifications they have devised over the years of these particular critters.
And this is the stuff that I didn't study, so I can't wait to hear it.
Well, this is stuff that I'm reading.
Cool. Okay. Read to me.
I blew through it, and I'm like, oh, this is good stuff. Okay, we'll use it. So there's a type 1, all right? Animals known from native tradition, folk tales, mythology.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Most mystery animals dealing relevant to cryptozoology are known by tradition and collective memory, and therefore possess a vernacular name or several ones among the natives. Artistic representations of animals also fall into this category, unless they are directly related to an actual observation, thus relevant to the following category. So we're talking about...
Unicorns.
Yeah, unicorns. Rodrick.
That's it. Just
well,
unicorns.
That's yeah. Everybody's got a tattoo. Every girl I know's got a tattoo of that on her. So at least the girls they can relate to this.
Right. And
well, the Centaur.
The Centaur.
Greek mythology.
Yeah, so we're talking. Yeah,
there's a lot of folklore like that in Greek
mythology. Folklore mythology.
Go to any of those type of animals and like those half animal, half human people in Greek mythology. There's a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what we're talking about here, as far as the type one. So that's more or less like, yeah, I saw this half guy, half horse thing, and he roared at me, and I ran like hell out of the woods. And like, yeah, how do we know that's true or not?
Right.
How do we know that's true or not? It's just a hearsay over the centuries. Hmm?
Oh, that made me think. I my mind today. I can't tell you. Listen to how dislocated I am at the moment.
Okay.
I went on Friday to see the Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets movie.
Mm-hmm.
Good movie, by the way.
I heard.
I give it a thumb up. And I'd give it two, but, you know, I'm only one person. And then it's an awesome movie. It needs to go be seen by everybody. It seems to me in the next book, which is what, The Prisoner of Azkaban or something,
mm-hmm.
I think they have centaurs in it.
Really?
So they're going to have to do a centaur in the next Harry Potter. I think, if I'm remembering the right book, there's going to be...
I'm going to be very honest with you on this. I have never seen a Harry Potter movie. I've never read a Harry Potter book. It just don't do anything for me.
Oh, man.
I've I've done what you would equate to going to the supermarket and going to the deli counter and taking a piece of cheese with a toothpick and putting it in my mouth with Harry Potter.
Yeah.
It didn't taste that good.
Oh.
I don't...
It wasn't...
I'm not knocking him at all. It just didn't grab me.
I don't know.
Maybe there just wasn't enough violence and cursing in it for me. But, I mean, you know.
I read the first book and I'm like, oh, man, I ran out and bought the remaining... three or four books, however many are out, and I'm looking forward to the next book, and I've been
movies. I trust your opinion. Maybe I should start reading these books, too.
It's just so magical. It's like so junior high,
I can really relate to that.
Well, no, I mean, it's like from in junior high when everything was possible, you know, there could be anything, and this is like so like that.
I'm on vacation all week. Everything's possible for me right now. You don't even know. Ever since I walked in the door, haven't I been like...
Oh, yeah.
I've been like just lit up because I have like 1,000 things I've been wanting to like do. Fun things.
We're going to Reynolds.
We're going to Reynolds.
Thursday night, I think.
That's coming up, yeah. Yep. Next week's... Wow. Another show we have planned already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We can talk about Reynolds.
More and more organized. Just better and better.
Type 2. Sorry about that.
Oh, no. That's great. These are type 2. These are like the type 2 classification. Animals known by witness accounts. Okay, maybe I shouldn't have ran my mouth so soon, because we were talking about type 1s. Sightings. All right?
This is sounding like Bigfoot.
Well, folklore is the same. There's sightings in folklore. They talk about sightings in folklore also.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's more or less very, like...
Encounters.
It's very big and dramatic, though.
Yeah, big story
like
behind
Beowulf,
it.
Like Beowulf. That's a dramatic thing. By analyzing visual, auditive, olfactive, tactical, and even gustative information, we can come up with more accurate descriptions of the species. So these are like this is more of a science. This is more like everyday, like in this time. We've seen a few minutes ago, like we were saying, we've seen, you know, the classic Bigfoot movie.
Yeah.
And by that movie, you know, these people have taken that videotape and broke it down, broke the sound down. I actually saw an episode with an hour special with just that movie, and they literally did a reenactment where they took real people and reenacted the whole thing.
Wow.
And they had the people, like, he was this far away, according to the...
How do you get a job doing that kind of stuff? That's what I want to know.
Okay, you sit over there on the horse. They had a guy doing it. He just sat there on the horse. And there was two people that saw this particular being or whatever. And the one guy had a camera. And the other guy was sitting on his horse. So they basically take everything they have, and they just, you know, well, today's technology, they just pump it through every little filter, every filter your computer has, and try to analyze it and see, get up close. Because they actually was able to zero in the video so close that they almost got, they saw a face. Because he turned around that one time, and you people know what I'm talking about. He turned around that one time like, You know, and I remember that's why I said he flipped him off. I remember he put his hand up like this, and I'm like, he's flipping him off.
He had like longer arms than a human would
huge.
Have, and he beast, did move his arm up. Yeah,
he walked like.
Yeah,
but that's the stuff like we see on like you know, all the conspiracy theory shows, and I saw it. Here's a camera, you know, aliens and you name it. It's out there right now, and it's very interesting too. Type 3.
Yes.
Animals known by interaction with matter. Tracks and trails. We've seen a lot of those, too. Photographs and movies, sonar echoes, injury marks. Hybridization marks.
Okay.
Evidence of symbiosis with another species or modification of the environment can be considered as potential associated proofs. Scratch marks on trees.
Yeah, or if you find that they, you know, need a certain species to feed off of
Bigfoot,
or something.
Bigfoot feces. They think they found Bigfoot feces.
Ew.
I kid you not. I read something on that. We found what we think is the feces of Bigfoot. Big deal. Big thing. And they don't
well,
write up on this.
It's a that would be a humongous discovery, you know. Because
yeah. That would be a heaping pile of information, wouldn't it?
Okay.
That's it, Scott, you're fired.
Woo!
Okay, so
I don't think I want to picture this in my head.
No. I mean, but I did see a special on that, and me and my father thoroughly enjoyed it, and you know the one-liners were just flying out. Just flying out, left and right. Type 4. Okay, because we want to use the last half an hour to talk about the real fun stuff, so I want to try to get this done before in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So we got two more to go here, people. Type 4, animals known by anatomical fragments, hairs, feathers, fur, bone fragments, excrements, blood drops, tissue samples.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're getting on to like a scientific level here.
Yeah,
you're under the microscope now. And that would also tie in, and of course, these things all tie together, too.
Oh, yeah.
That would be all tied together.
There's some gray areas, because, like, you can think of Bigfoot, as a matter of fact, as having fallen in several categories at
already.
Some time, and
already.
Even now.
Yeah. I mean, because Bigfoot, I mean, his story's been around, his or her story, could it be a female,
yeah.
I don't know. Through the centuries, there's always, you go back, American history, there's always been sightings of this big, you know, monkey-looking dude walking around, roaring at people and whatnot. Type 5. Animals known by an actual complete specimen. Okay, and that's what you were talking about earlier. They found remains, though.
Right.
There are some controversial species relevant to cryptozoology, although they have been described from a specimen, for instance, the pygmy elephant. Never seen it, but must be really cool.
Well, they actually, speaking of elephants, they did find they now are classifying, they had forever,
uh-huh.
I guess, thought that there were two kinds of elephants. And now they just, and this was big in cryptozoology, they just reclassified some elephant that lives evidently in Africa, okay, there's elephants that live in the plains.
Mm-hmm.
Or on the savannas, or whatever they are, and then there's elephants that live in the forests or the or the woods,
mm-hmm.
and they just reclassified it so that there's two kinds of elephants in Africa now. So now there's a total of three because there's the Middle Eastern elephant that's used as a beast of burden, and there's very few, I guess, or if any, remaining wild ones out in Pakistan or wherever they live, I don't know. And now there's two that live in Africa. So
wildlife talk.
Suddenly we've got three kinds of elephants as of last year. Yeah,
elephant is a. Hey, we're talking about animals, really.
Yeah.
Elephant's always been one of those animals. Like, do you really want to touch that thing? I rode one when I was a kid.
At
the circus.
Yeah.
And it smelled.
Yeah, that's what I remember about elephants.
It's just, they stunk. Did you ever remember that, Will?
Yeah, I remember that. Those
Now, why don't we take a quick break, though? We wanted to give you guys, like, per usual classic ghostly talk. We wanted to, like, give everybody, like, you know, as far as a new subject we're touching on here, we wanted to give everybody, like, a real high level of what it's all about. And then you guys go out there and do more investigating for whatever interests you the most within the subject. So hopefully that was informative. And what we're going to do now, though, is Doug's going to, like, pretty much take over the rest of the show, and he looks fatigued, guys. I'm telling you, he's looking rough right now.
I am like really falling asleep, but only because of all the energy that I've.
I mean, there's a complete like. Usually, we're both on the same level when we get here, and I can just feel it. Like he's tired. And
I'm trying.
Oh no, you're fine. But I mean, I'm wound up. So I mean, obviously, I already mentioned that I'm like just ready to like take on the world right now. So, but what Doug's gonna do is we're gonna talk about some like Bigfoot. You know, we all know about Bigfoot, and that's great. And he's a good example to use for a lot of things we're talking about as far as, like, the academics of it. But now we're going to talk about some of the real cool ones that not too many of you have actually heard about. So give us a couple seconds. We're going to go into the bathroom and do some weird stuff or whatever, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts,
Doug
and Scott L.
Ghost hunting, my ethereal anti-drug.
It's paranormally scientific. It's ghostly talk.
All right, we're back.
And I have to tell you, okay, one thing that totally fascinates me about cryptozoology, and, I mean, it's a big field. Because, like you were saying, there's the science of it, and there's the legends of it. The legends are what really fascinate me. For example, there is a, oh my gosh, I don't even know how to describe it. It's called the Nain Rouge. It's a Detroit legend. And it was reported as far back as Cadillac. Cadillac is the guy who actually founded Detroit. And he reported it. And there's so we're talking, what, 1700s? And evidently, Nain Rouge evidently means red dwarf.
Okay.
It's this little guy who appears here in the streets of downtown Detroit. When his appearances always precede some disaster. So people saw the Nain Rouge before Detroit burned, when it burned way back. People saw the Nain Rouge before some big snowstorm. Actually, two electric company fellows saw the Nain Rouge before some big snowstorm in, I think, 1970s or something. I'm sure you can look it up on the web. But this, that's the kind of story that really fascinates me.
Now, he's a little red dwarf.
He was in the two power company guys. They saw him, they saw a little boy, this is what they saw, climb a telephone pole. And then they're like, hey, get down off there. This is why it was the Nain Rouge and not a little boy. It leaped from the top of the telephone pole down to the ground and ran and scurried away. And it was short. It's like 3 feet tall.
Well, at least he listens to authority, though.
I guess so.
Hey, get down. Okay, no problem.
But then the next day, the city was like bogged down in a like the worst snowstorm in hundreds of years or something.
And I mean, usually when we're talking about, we're talking about the unexplained now. But when you're talking about the paranormal, it's like we always try to approach it scientifically and like rule out all of the, you know, the obvious things or natural things that happen in nature. And how do you explain something?
Well, that's a good question.
How
because,
do you explain that?
I mean, this thing has been, you know, reported from, you know, the early days of Detroit, you know, Cadillac and then he shows up in the 70s. All of a sudden, and it's like really bizarre. Oh, and then what they wonder about, and what I wonder about too, is how many sightings before disasters happen that go unreported.
Yeah,
you know, because these are only the popular sightings, the ones that go reported that are reported of the Nain Rouge here in Detroit, and you know that these ones we know about, and you can say, oh, there's a parallel between the appearances of the Nain Rouge and the, you know, some bad that happened.
Yeah. Now, here's, I'm going to comment on this, and this might, you might get a laugh out of this, but I'm being serious, too. We're talking about two electric company workers, right?
Okay.
Okay. This is back in the 70s.
Okay.
Okay. Now, they tell a story. We're walking along, and we see this little boy climbing up one of the poles. We go, hey, get down! And we watch the guy, this little guy, jump off, you know, one of those things, like 30, 40 feet in the air.
Right, these things are
They're safe. You're going to see me climbing out of one of them. Jumps off, hits the ground, runs away. Okay, great. Wow. Well, now we're talking about a couple of electric company workers. Here's the one side. Two competent men, working gentlemen, that they have families probably. They go to work every day, and they work for the electric company, so they have a good job. They're somewhat competent. I mean, they're not just going to go out and say something like that unless really believe it, right?
Why would you say something like that?
Here's the other side, though.
Yeah.
Turn on Channel 2 during the week. I'm serious.
Turn on
Channel 2 during the week. And every day, Scott Lewis is out there busting. Well, I'm sorry. This is Detroit. Channel 2 is one of our stations, and we have
Fox 2.
We have these people here called the Problem Solvers.
Yeah.
And these guys go out and bust the scam artists in the city of Detroit, which includes, how will we say, lazy workers.
Yeah, in and around the city of Detroit. One of the things they had done for, because Ghostly Talk is like heard all over the world, so they don't know.
I want to specify that.
But one of the things that they did, for example, this is a local news kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's
is
a
right
feature
here in Detroit.
Every day. And what they do is they go around and they film these.
They spy
these
on
people.
These people.
Yeah, and one of the tips that they had gotten was that the proceeds from, was it Hamtramck?
Uh-huh.
Hamtramck has parking meters.
Yeah.
Not that many places around Detroit have parking meters other than like the downtown area, like downtown Detroit, and,
mm-hmm.
and of course Hamtramck is a downtownish kind of place. And then I think in Mount Clemens, but like in the normal suburbs, there's no like parking meters.
Yeah.
So this is like, it's not foreign to me, you know, what a parking meter is, but it's something that I don't deal with every day. So what happens is these parking meter people, they have to go and open up the parking meters and take the quarters out and stuff, and then put it in this big like container thing in the truck.
And it goes into an armored car after that.
Evidently, it was like a handful for the city and a handful for me.
Handful
for the city and a handful for me. And they
caught these people doing that.
They caught these people doing that. And then they would go and take this money, and they would buy like lottery tickets and stuff.
This will illustrate my point further, though, because there was another one. From the same show, the problem solvers, were gas workers.
Oh, yeah, the ones who were drinking all day?
These guys, they filmed them going into work in their car, punching in, getting in their work truck, pulling out, and going straight to the, they go work for like 2 hours.
Right.
Then they go to the bar for lunch. They'd be there for like 3 hours, and then the funniest part of the whole thing is they came on site, and this is on film, people, they have the camera going, these guys walk outside the bar and flare a joint up. Okay, for you European people, that's marijuana.
It's not legal in the United States.
Yeah. Any of our Amsterdam listeners, sorry. fly me over. I'm not a drug addict, but I'd like to check the place out. I just want to see it. But smoking a joint, smoking a marijuana cigarette in broad daylight. So the point is, though, is like, okay, we got a couple of city workers here. It's more or less like it's probably nighttime outside. Who knows? They weren't. It's the 70s too. I mean, come on, you know.
Yeah, they were just
the
60s.
What's that on the pole, man?
Dude, what's on the pole?
What's that?
Well, I don't. Okay.
I mean,
yes, I agree.
It's
that
a valid
there are,
point. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. I mean, it makes sense.
No, I understand, but at the same time, you, all witnesses. Now we're going into true ghostly talk stuff. Okay. Because all witnesses, because this is why it's true ghostly talk. It's only loosely related to the topic, but it's something that really needs to be discussed.
It ties right in.
All witnesses, though, of events. In this case, we're talking about a couple people who saw the Nain Rouge, but it could be UFO sightings. It could be somebody who saw a ghost.
Yeah.
It could be somebody who is reporting, you know, any kind of paranormal activity.
Mm-hmm.
And all witnesses somehow have to go through this kind of credibility issue, because you're saying, you know, okay, there's these two guys, they work for the city, and there are indeed people who work for the city who don't always live up to what you
and
would expect.
By no means was that said that I slam anybody that works for the city.
Right.
I don't want anybody to think that I'm like, I'm slamming. I'm just telling you what I saw on TV. Okay?
And that's what I wanted to say, is I want to say that every witness that reports something like this is going to go through some kind of credibility issue.
Yeah, whether it's
issue.
A ghost or the name Rouge.
Yeah. And you go through some kind of credibility issue. These guys have the... I would say that for those people that you see on Fox 2,
mm-hmm.
On the Problem Solvers thing, for every one of those
very
you
small
see...
percentage.
Yeah,
very
there's going to be 100 people who are good, honest workers.
Yeah.
So I think that the ones that Fox 2 finds...
Are just a few.
Are the few.
Yeah.
They're the bad apples in that spoil the whole barrel.
Yeah, but
in this
unfortunately, case. Though, that when you do something like that, though, and I'm sure Fox 2 is aware of that... When you do something like that, though, that will make your average everyday person that does go to work and work very hard, that don't work for, say, the electric company, for example, look at the electric company in a very negative manner.
Well, right. Well, they
unfortunately,
and for the record, Fox 2 did not, like, get any corruption or anything out of the electric company people.
No.
They did like, the change parking meter people in Hamtramck. They did the... the people who paved the roads or they patched the roads.
God.
That was amazing. Those people just drank
they
and drank
all
day.
They make my blood boil.
But but I would say that all, you know, for all those stories that you see, that we see on Fox 2, you know, exposing, you know, lazy workers, that's just like a tiny drop of the...
And like I said, I don't want anybody to think that I'm slamming anybody on that. Like I said, I'm just telling you...
But it is a question.
It tied in very well with what you're talking
about.
And
it is a question, and it's something you have to think about whenever you hear a story, you know, oh, well, you know, somebody reported a UFO or somebody reported a Nain Rouge.
Who reported a UFO?
Yeah, you got to think, okay, well, who is this person? Does this person have any reason to lie to me?
Yeah.
Are they on, you know...
There's a million questions
there. In this case, drugs? Are they drinking all day? You know, what's up with that? And I have a feeling, I mean, these two could have been like those people, but I have a feeling that they're not.
Probably
I mean...
It had to be said.
it is something that you have to question whenever you hear these kinds of
it's
stories.
It's just a credibility check, people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do. I mean, that's
so,
the bottom line.
Credibility check.
Let's move on.
But I think, the Nain Rouge, though, the Nain Rouge actually fascinates me because, first of all, it's a local Detroit legend, right? And then you know, the fact that the sightings... This is the only one that I found so far, and I'm going to keep studying cryptozoology because I found it fascinating. But this is the only one that I found so far that has an actual, like, you know, a sighting of this imp, which is what it is. The sighting of this imp immediately precurses some kind of disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, he's the only one that I found that does that kind of, that has a correlation like that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to let you know that Nain Rouge, that's local. There's also a puma, or there was when I was growing up, a puma in Manchester, Michigan.
Okay.
Which is out of place, I guess.
Well, yeah.
That's another part of cryptozoology is, you know, out of place animals.
Yeah.
So the puma in Manchester would be out of place. There's another thing, there's a monster reported in... Monroe County?
I've heard about
not
that.
Monroe City, but Monroe County, I guess. I don't know. I didn't, like, look at a map. I just read the story. Okay. These two girls, a woman and her daughter, are driving along one night. They see this monster. You know, big, hairy ape monster kind of thing. Not Bigfoot-ish, evidently, but monster-ish. They see this monster on the road. And in the story, they give you the roads that they were at, you know. But for the high level view, you just drive. They're driving down the road. Whoever was riding said, "Keep going, go faster." You know, like, you know, don't stop at the stop sign or the stoplight. Just go, get away from this monster. But the car stalls and dies. So the monster comes up to the car, reaches in and grabs one of the two ladies. The other lady escapes and goes to get help.
Yeah. Hey, what else happened? I mean,
well, that's it. I mean, then they came back. They found the other lady unconscious. But it's like
it didn't. eater, or?
No. She was okay, I guess. But, I mean...
Like, I just want to have tea with her or something?
I mean, no, he wanted to, like, strangle her. But,
ugh.
That's interesting in that, first of all...
Oh, now, okay, were they driving home from the bar?
I think, well, that could have very well been...
Credibility, I mean, that's what you have to do. I mean...
Since we're talking about...
I'm not trying to discredit anybody. I'm just saying, look, this is what you have to go through. If you're going to make a claim like that, be prepared to back it up. I mean...
Right. I would have liked to... if it was a more modern story, I would have liked to have seen a full investigation looking for hairs of the animal, that kind of thing.
Or on the girls... If he grabbed her out of the car...
There must be some kind of...
Scratch,
there should be
nail,
photographic evidence
anything,
or something of...
Anything. Yeah.
Of an injury, yeah.
I mean, like, but it could, we could go back into conspiracy theory again and go, okay, here's the IRS guy or what... I mean, not the IRS guy. Here's the CIA guy going, okay, so what'd you see... Well, it was a big monster, and it was roaring, and it was big and hairy, and it walked up to the car and grabbed me out of the car, and I don't remember anything after that. Okay, tell you what. Look at this little red thing right here. You do not remember anything, or, you know, something
yeah.
in black. I mean, it could
flash.
Very well be that.
Yeah.
It could very well be that. We talked about Thomas Edison last week concerning his machine that he wanted to build, and the thing just disappears.
Right.
We were talking about that in the band last night.
And a lot of disappears. And a lot of Tesla's... energy
all of his experience gone.
Yeah.
You don't know what happened to him.
So I mean, yeah, there's certain amount of that. But these ladies, what my question for, mm-hmm. about that particular little story, which I just you know that's a high overview. Mm. Search the Monroe Monster. I'm sure you'll find it.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, why would they lie? I mean,
yeah.
they're maybe they wanted credibility. Maybe they're you know, but why would they make up a story like that? All of a sudden.
Yeah. But why do people go on Jenny Jones?
Okay.
I mean, I'm not trying to bat badly on this, but...
No, I agree.
Why do people go
I
on
agree.
Jenny Jones?
I wholeheartedly agree. Jenny, for those folks who don't get Jenny Jones...
Oh, sorry.
It's one of those trash talk show kinds of things where they bring up these people with all
My
kinds
of... My brothers, sisters, boyfriends, moms, sisters, boyfriends, brothers, aunts, uncles, third... Cousin
beat me up or
was having sex with my brother's sister's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Great grandpa's uncle's brother's buddy from who got the boat from Italy. They're having sex together,
right?
Like, we care.
And yeah, and they talk about all these things.
Yeah.
It just goes on and on and on.
Point is though, is like, why do you think I would care about that? Well, apparently, well, in the States, for our for our people all over the world to listen to the show, thank you. Apparently there's a problem in America where we have to know what everybody's business is. I mean, apparently there's a problem with that where I have to know what Doug does in the privacy of his own bedroom.
And,
I have went as far as to drill a hole through the wall and put a camera in there.
So that it can be aired on
so
the
I can
Jenny
air,
Jones.
Yeah, so,
sure.
Okay.
Because,
no.
Yeah, that is something interesting about the United States. I mean, it's not enough just to, like, have water cooler gossip anymore.
Yeah, no.
Or over, you know, like neighbors visiting over
mm-hmm.
the fence kind of, you know, classic gossiping.
Yeah.
It's not enough. Now we got to take it on the air, you know,
yeah.
and air all
you know,
our dirty
but
laundry
going
out.
Going back to the Monroe Monster, though.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not trying, I'm looking at, I'm just, maybe I'm being a bit pessimistic here, and I'm not trying to discredit anybody, but that's what I think about, though. I mean, and that's how I think I'm effective as a ghost hunter. And a paranormal researcher, amateur paranormal researcher.
Yeah.
I don't try to be negative to people and give them the bad ideas. I know there's people out there that really, really want to believe that there are ghosts. And so do I. But I'm not going to make a fool out of myself in the process. I'm sorry.
At least we're going to try not to.
No,
try
not to.
You know, not about that, anyway. Okay. I have to say, last year in India.
Okay.
I'm on the wrong story. Wait, let me scroll up a little bit. That's the problem. I'm not.
Ah. Doug, what's your answer?
I got it.
Okay.
The Monkey Man. There was a 2-week period in May last year.
Okay.
Where all these people in India were being attacked by a monkey man.
Monkey man.
A monkey man.
Sounds like something a cartoon superhero to me.
Well, maybe it loses something in translation. Yeah. But anyway, they were 20. It's about 22 miles north of New Delhi.
Okay.
Which I'm sure everybody's familiar with.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And,
that's where I'm going on vacation.
Tomorrow?
Yeah. I'm on the planet for the show.
This giant monkey, evidently just, like, started attacking people. And he attacked more than a dozen people were hospitalized. I mean, so there are records of that.
Okay.
You know. But, of course, many of them were hospitalized because of falls while they were running away.
Oh, really?
So, evidently, like, the classic horror movie gotcha really does happen.
Oh, my God.
So, but you know, a couple dozen people hospitalized because this monkey man attacks people New Delhi.
Now, is there any description of, like, you know, roughly what he or she or what it looks like?
Well, okay, the thing is that they called it a giant rogue monkey. What it would do, I don't know about their security systems, but, you know, I'm thinking that a really good business idea or a business venture would be to open a security, like just a lock company.
Okay.
You know, you don't have to sell, like, high-tech, you know, computerized security things, but around New Delhi, India, if you could just sell locks for your doors, because this giant monkey would sneak in while you were sleeping and bite you. That was its thing to do.
I hurt my teeth.
I've got to cut that out. That's an awesome
story. So you're crashed out in your bed, you know, I mean, now...
And a very tall, monkey-like creature without a tail. It was 5 feet tall around. It was hairy and had large claws.
Okay, it just walks in and bites you. Is
while
that all
you're
it
sleeping.
Does?
While you're sleeping.
It just bites you and goes, okay, thanks, I'm out of here.
And evidently it runs away, yeah.
Sounds like a vicious bed bug or something.
Yeah. Are you sure there wasn't...
A 5 foot tall bed bug?
You sure there wasn't like giant mites in there or something? They come out, and mites are bad in bed.
Well, that's cryptozoological as well.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
A giant monkey walks in my room and bites me.
Well, evidently people have also seen this thing.
Yeah.
I know this is kind of hilarious. It's probably a really serious story.
A horrible
but,
pun on words. I'm telling
well, this, that's why I wanted to talk about this one. Instead of the monkey seen in New Hampshire, which is the story I have.
Uh-huh, yeah.
This one's much more interesting. But evidently, some fellow actually saw him jump 20 feet in the air, so they know that it's not a human.
Wow.
So. Wow. And this was last year, in May of 2001. Yeah.
Well, I think we just found the niche, man. We can make some money here.
I think...
Oh, wait, did they see a little like lock picker kit like on the side or something like that? I mean...
Well, unless... I don't know. I'm not familiar with the culture of India. I mean, it's not like... I know Japan, you know, like now it's all modern, but way back in the day, they all lived in like paper houses where you could just like splash through the paper if you did, disrespected someone's house. And monkey men don't wear shoes, evidently, so they wouldn't have to worry about that in Japan.
Yeah.
But over in India, I'm not familiar with the culture. I would think that 22 miles from New Delhi would be fairly modern and that they would have locks on their doors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, to thwart not only monkey men, but,
Anyway, if anybody has any idea about that, please email us with that or IM us or something.
Like, how can a couple of dozen people get bitten in their sleep by a giant monkey man?
I mean,
a modern city.
I would like to know what the motivation was for that, though. Like, why did he, like, walk in your house and bite you and then run away? Now, another thing on that story from what you told me here on the air. First the monkey walks in your house and bites you while you're sleeping. And then he runs away.
Yeah.
But the people were saying that they... Well, you said that people were injured falling down.
And there
running.
Were people...
What, are they chasing him?
He just
bit you. Leave him alone.
Well, maybe it was the other way around. Maybe there were other people who actually saw the
Well, if I see a big monkey that's jumping 20 feet in the air, the last thing I'm going to do is go chasing after it.
Right. Well, Yeah, even that part of the story doesn't...
It's going to be the other way around. They're getting chased by the thing, probably, you know?
Well, no, they were fallen by running away.
Yeah,
so,
running away.
Some people ran away from the...
Maybe they woke up, or maybe they weren't sleeping. Maybe
and
they
the
were
guy
awake.
Wasn't done biting them and wanted to
so
bite
you know, you're
more.
Watching, you're
so
you're living
and
watching
away.
Good times, and like all of a sudden, this monkey walks in, and he's like, hi, I'm the monkey man, I'm going to bite you. And you go, no, don't bite me. And you go
and you
running.
You run away, you fall and injure yourself.
And then, like, you walk past the gun, and you leave that there, and you keep running.
And for some reason, after you fall, the monkey man goes away.
Yeah.
And you are whisked off to the hospital.
But interesting.
It is interesting because it happened to a couple of dozen people.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
It's like, why, no matter how the timeline of each attack happened, it's just so fascinating that it happened multiple times. Unless something else goes on there. We're not going to get to talk about all this other stuff.
Well, I'm telling you, you know what? I mean, I know it won't fit on a CD, but I know you were really excited about doing this show. And, I mean...
I'm also really excited about going to bed. This
is what we'll do then.
I want to tell one more thing, because we've got about 4 minutes.
I'm going to leave. This is on you, though. If you want to go over... Let's go over.
Well, the thing is, I wanted to talk about. I'll just do like a quick fact, real quick about Loch Ness. Okay.
Okay.
Well, the Loch Ness monster is obviously Nessie. Everybody's familiar with it. I'm not going to tell you all about it because absolutely everybody already knows about it.
Uh-huh.
You'd be hard pressed to find anybody who doesn't know about Loch Ness monster.
Mm-hmm.
There is an equivalent
in
British Columbia, Canada, called Ogopogo.
Okay.
As far as I can tell, and I've only researched this stuff for a week, so I could have missed something, but as far as I can tell, Ogopogo is the only cryptozoological thing that actually has a price on its head.
Really?
If you go up to whatever lake it is, I don't remember, in British Columbia, Canada, and you get absolute proof, and you have to, there's a consortium of local businesses there who have put up a $2 million Canadian reward, which is a couple hundred bucks American.
That's,
And
give me that punchline. you heard me, you got me.
No, it actually, $2 million is probably like, what, $1.2 or $1.4 million American.
I haven't been to a casino over there in a while, so
So you go there, and you could, you have to prove to them they've got specific things that they're looking for. You don't have to drag the carcass of Ogopogo to the business, to the businessmen. They would prefer you not to harm the creature.
Well, yeah.
But they do want irrefutable proof, and they're looking for specific things.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in collecting a reward for finding a cryptozoological creature, British Columbia, head on up there.
We heard the guys from Ghostly Talk, and they said we can go over here and shoot us an animal.
Oh, no. I can see the lawyers already on us. Yeah.
They dragged back like this, just like one strand of hair. Yeah, about 40 of us just shot the thing down, and there's nothing left anymore. Sorry. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I think that we'll... for those of you who want to actually go there and hunt Ogopogo, you may want to ask about the rules. Because I don't think you're supposed to shoot it.
Yeah. Well, on that, here's the... I mean, darn it.
Wait, 1 minute. I know, it sucks. Because I wanted to talk about the purple kangaroo.
Talk about him.
No!
Do it. It's okay.
Okay, for years...
Make two files.
What?
Just make two files.
Just fade it out, make it sound real nice. It'll be great.
For years, in Australia...
Yeah.
People were... The Aborigines and stuff like that were talking about this... purple kangaroo. And it's not a purple kangaroo in that it's purple.
Uh-huh.
It's that it has a purple ring around its neck.
Really?
Okay. And of course everyone's like, oh, crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Because the purple kangaroo,
Yeah.
Evidently, there really is one.
Wow.
It's confirmed. There's a kangaroo. What it is, they've got glands in their neck.
Uh-huh.
that secretes something that causes...
makes the fur go purple.
Yeah, that puts a purple coating on the fur. And it washes away in, like, rain or rubbing against whatever they rub against.
Yeah.
And so they're not always purple.
Mm-hmm.
But what you have to do is, I guess, if you have a kangaroo and you want to know if it's one of them,
yeah,
you've got to, like, dissect it. So it's the process of finding out if it's one of a purple kangaroo is, like, wait to see if its neck goes purple,
uh-huh,
or open it up and look and see if it's got this gland.
I'd prefer wait for its neck to go purple.
Yeah, I think that's the less intrusive way anyway. And
I don't think that wouldn't go over too well in sixth grade science class.
But I got my kangaroo.
Got my kangaroo.
Yeah. So it was a legend. It was a legend for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they found, oh, hey, there's actual scientific basis for that.
You know what movie I watched this week, by the way?
Huh?
The Mothman Prophecies.
Oh, you did? I totally forgot.
Like I told you earlier this week, I'm like, I really don't start thinking about Ghostly Talk nowadays till like usually Wednesday or Thursday, like, you know, what we have to take care of. And I didn't have to work Thursday, so I stayed up real late, and I watched the Mothman Prophecies. And I didn't even realize that had something to do with cryptozoology. That was a big thing in cryptozoology also. We're like totally short on time, so my suggestion for that, go see the movie. I mean, it's a very, very, very good movie, and it ties right into what we're talking about. All these things we've talked about, it encompasses all these things. The movie mm-hmm. talks about the experiences, and people, well, I saw that thing down the street there, and they're drawing pictures of it, and... it's the Mothman. They call it the Mothman, which is the whole movie was based on a true story itself, and it's a very deep story. Did you ever see that? Did you see it yet?
Not yet.
You should see that, Will. Did you see it yet?
No.
Check it out. Definitely very cool flick. And it's actually a good thing to watch after hearing our show, because it's like you'll see all these traits and types and things we've talked about here tonight. It's illustrated right there for
right
you,
in
your
movie.
Face. It's a good thing to learn from.
So, I only got to briefly mention the Yeti hair. Mm. I only got to briefly mention the coelacanth from last year. Another big news story from last year was the giant squids.
You just read my mind.
They keep finding these giant squids laying around.
The giant squid. But there's supposed to be one, the giant squid.
Oh, really?
50 feet long. And the squid itself, here's a little bit of science coming from Papa here. The giant squid has the biggest eyes on the planet, has the best eyes on the planet.
They said that one interesting thing about this squid, unless I'm getting it confused with something else.
Yeah.
This particular breed of squid, evidently they're supposed to have two arms and six tentacles.
Mm-hmm.
Or two arms.
Well, they
however many things they have.
The squid's really, it's an interesting creature because it works on a propulsion system, too. It don't have fins, you know what I mean? It's a fish, basically. It don't have fins. It has a propulsion system in its tail end where it takes water and sucks it in through the front and pushes it out the back, and it pushes it along in the same method that a jet would push itself off an aircraft carrier. But a giant squid, they say there is the giant squid that's on this planet, that's somewhere on this planet, very, 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 very deep in the water. And with the technology we're having now, they're able to get deeper into the water. And there have been sightings of this gigantic squid that they've estimated at least 50 feet long. And like I said, if you take that, the eyeballs on a squid, I mean, our eyeballs are generally like the size of a big fat marble, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Theirs are like double to three times the size of that, a normal size squid. Their eyes are just huge. So if you take that, like say the average, I think the average one's about maybe 3-4 foot long, and you multiply that by 50, or like, not by 50, but
yeah,
take the ratio to 50 feet.
Right.
Imagine the size of that eyeball.
Ick.
You can see through people's clothes.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to have it looking at me anytime soon.
Definite.
I didn't get to talk about the beaked whales. They keep finding new beaked whales, ziphids, I guess they're called. They found those last year. I mean, it's just like...
tons.
It's all happening. And
just type cryptozoology into Google, and you'll be reading for days.
Yeah, and most of my stuff was taken from a summary of last year that's published up on paranormalnews.com.
Great site to go to.
Paranormalnews.com has a cryptozoology part. Oh, you got to go. Okay, everyone, I'm not going to talk about it on the air, unfortunately, because we're out of time.
Okay.
But,
all right.
Toy. Did you see the picture of Toy?
No.
Okay, somewhere down in like Brazil or somewhere. Chile.
Okay.
Oh, Chile. All
right.
In Chile, this family's out for a walk, which doesn't happen here very often. I don't understand. All these stories have like this Brady Bunch feel to them. Anyway, okay. This family is out for a walk, and there's this kid, one of the people in this family,
yeah,
out for a walk.
Yeah.
For some reason, was under a bush, and under this bush was this little tiny creature, 7.2 centimeters long.
Okay.
Which is a couple inches, 3 inches maybe, and it looks more like the typical alien.
Seven centimeters long.
7 centimeters long.
That's little.
And it's more like fetal looking. It looks like a little fetus is what it looks like.
Okay.
But it's not human. It's got slanted eyes. You know, it looks more like the gray, you know, the UFO.
The gray beings, yeah.
Yeah. And it looks more like a little baby or fetal gray. However, they said for 8 days after they found it, it would open its eyes and stuff, that it was alive. And so it's called Toy. Go to paranormalnews.com, read the stories.
Oh. There's a lot going on in cryptozoology. This is like...
Definitely.
And it does cover... I know there's somebody that's sitting there right now going, what are these guys talking about? What are these... I thought this was about ghosts.
Yeah.
We talk about every two or three shows, we end up talking about something crazy like this.
Yeah.
But God, I mean, well, a lot of times it's from pressure from our audience. We want you guys to give us topics to talk about.
And thank heavens they did.
Yeah, and they were like, let's talk about cryptozoology.
Because I find this particular topic to be fascinating.
It is fascinating.
So I have to thank everybody for suggesting
this. Yeah,
yeah, totally. We didn't get to talk about the big cats in England,
mm-hmm,
that are being reported.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much. We don't have time.
The giant anaconda. Supposedly that thing's like, I mean, they reported the biggest anaconda was supposedly 40 feet long, and they say this thing is on an average of 60 feet long, and the thing weighs about a couple of tons. You're dead if you come in contact.
Yeah,
I'm a steak buff. Okay, you don't mess with an anaconda.
No.
A regular anaconda. If you come
let
in,
alone a the, giant.
And there's some like big prolific name, like the Serpent of Tualin or something like that. I don't remember the name, but some very prolific name, and the natives like, no, I'm not going near that thing. But they're searching for that, and it lives in a cave somewhere. It's like your typical like dragon lore story. Like,
I would not be on that expedition.
No.
You'll see some kind of Hollywood movie made of, you know, when that expedition does not return.
Yeah. Well, when an animal that big, just from my experience with snakes, I had a lot of, actually. An animal that big, there's nothing on this planet that could stop it.
No.
There's nothing. I don't care how big and tough it is, there's nothing on this planet that could stop an animal like that. Never. Whether it's something under the cryptozoological standards, or if it's just a regular animal that just maybe come in contact with a big batch of steroids, I don't know. But you're not stopping an animal like that, bottom line. So, we better cut
That's
off.
That's it.
Yeah,
we're already 8 minutes over.
Yeah,
so.
Sorry. Hope you guys enjoy it, though. We've been excited all week. We've been on the phone all week, back and forth, going, I can't wait. This
yeah,
is a lot of fun. We're real excited to do a topic like this, because it's a breath of fresh air for us, too.
And then I only got to talk about, briefly, a few of the stories. There's so much. If anything,
mm-hmm,
and this I must say this at the end of almost every show, if anything, if you got anything out of the show, and you're interested in cryptozoology, study it. Go on the web. Do it
like Doug and Scott do it. Go, what's the credibility here? What's going on? Think about take the whole thing and go, look at all the everything that's around it, all the equations, all the dynamics, and go, okay, let's see what we got going on here. Let's see what stands and what doesn't stand. Because that's what we're doing here every single week. Everything we talk about, from theater ghosts to the pyramids to cryptozoology, we're going, what's up here? And that's what Ghostly Talk's all about.
But it's really interesting because something must be up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, otherwise there wouldn't be so much talk about it.
Not at all. So on that note,
we're out of here. The end of our talk tonight.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And this was Ghostly Talk.